The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us today on this community, the community of Jesus apprentices, where we're trying to study, to spend time with Jesus so we can learn from him how to love and how to serve. On this community of the rescue worker, this community of Jesus apprentices, we have a motto. And I want to repeat this motto for you so we can keep in mind what we're trying to accomplish here. Our goal is to live by this motto. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. God is inviting us to be citizens of the kingdom. He's inviting us to live according to the principles and values of God's kingdom that is based on love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. That is the way that God expects us to live our lives. We are on our eighth week of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And in this week, we have a special memory verse. We have studied this memory verse a few episodes ago. And the memory verse is Luke 4:40. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Jesus, the Messiah, who has the power over sickness and demons that can bring healing. He wants to bring healing to your life as well. I don't know what kind of healing do you need, but Jesus is stretching his arms to touch your life. He wants to heal your soul, your family, your health. He wants to touch your spiritual life and bring forgiveness. He wants to bring love and all what is necessary for you to live an abundantly life. You need to submit to this king and this kingdom, the kingdom of God. You know, we are studying today, or starting this study of chapter 5. We'll focus today on the first 11 verses. It's a large portion compared to the previous days. And here we have, and we see a different perspective of the kingdom of God and the ministry of Jesus. And it's a powerful one. And sometimes we don't realize that following Jesus is following the lessons that we learn here on Luke chapter 5. And I do believe for us to grasp the main concepts or any concept, we need the direction of Jesus, the direction of the Holy Spirit, to help us to hear God's will and desire for us. We know that every time we come into Bible study and prayer, we are coming before the throne of grace. We are allowed to come before God anytime. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." And this grace and this mercy is available for you and to you right now. And we need to come before him to be blessed by his presence and to understand his will and desires for our life. So Let's take a minute of reflection, a minute of aligning ourselves with God, a minute that we can ask God for guidance and ask Him to speak to us. And after this minute, I'll come back for a short prayer and then the study or the reflection of a few points here of Matthew 5, verses 1 to 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this opportunity that you gave us to be together in this community, the community of the rescue worker, where you're trying to learn how to love and serve like Jesus. Today we're studying Luke chapter 5, and we want to plead that we'll hear your voice and only your voice. Forgive our sins, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Where we are? Well, yesterday we just finished chapter 4. And chapter 4, or part of chapter 4, is related to the public ministry of Jesus. A public ministry of Jesus that was focused in Galilee, in the synagogues. The synagogues were a community hall, was not a religious or church building per se, but it's a community hall where people got together. So people were doing life on this hall, so Jesus was there with people where they were. We see Jesus on the Sabbath sharing the message. And what is the message? And we need to keep in mind this message, because this message is the script of Jesus' mission, ministry. Therefore, it should be our mission and our ministry. So Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. And remember, Jesus is referring to words from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and 58. And here he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." So Jesus has a clear vision, and he wants to fulfill this vision in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he does that. Nazareth didn't accept him. He goes to Capernaum. In Capernaum, we see him in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, preaching, declaring the good news of the kingdom. But on that day, we see an expansion of Jesus' ministry. Now, he is delivering people from the possession and the influence of the demons and his evil spirits. After that, he goes to Simon's house and heals Simon's mother-in-law. So the ministry of Jesus of healing people and delivering people from the influence of the devil. He has authority over the diseases and the evil spirits. What a powerful, and what he does, he brings deliverance, he brings release, he set people free, he opened the eyes, not physically, only physically, but also spiritually. He proclaimed the good news to the poor, those that are not favorable, or they are not in a good condition, right? And we have talked about that. And he has this mission that he needs to proclaim everywhere. And that's the way we finish chapter 4, right? He continued to travel around preaching the synagogues throughout Judea. So he's going everywhere, proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. But now let's turn to chapter 5. Because here we see an expansion. There's and I mentioned to you that before. In the Gospel of Luke, we have this principle of repetition and enlargement. Usually Luke repeats something or rephrase or present again something that is usual to Jesus' ministry or his teaching, but he expands. Okay? So let's come here. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. So let's pay attention to what's happening here. Probably Jesus is back to Capernaum, and we'll see why I'm referring that in a few moments. He is at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And here it's clear. It's not it's a large body of water. What is interesting that this Sea of Galilee is not a sea per se, but it is a lake. But because of the quantity of the water, people refer as sea, but actually is a lake. So Jesus is on the shore. The shore of the Sea of Galilee is not sandy. Right, you don't have sand there. It's a very rocky. There's many stones, small stones, a part of the shore. Okay, and it was very interesting because I was helping someone producing a video series in Israel, right? And this person will go, okay, take me now to the Sea of Galilee, to the sandy beaches and shores, so I can have this idea of footsteps, and I want to have the idea of someone following the footsteps of Jesus on the sand, and do an image, a shot of that, and say, hey, that would be hard because it's very rocky. And there is a kind of a edge, right? It's not flat, goes very, there's a great angle there. And I think knowing that helps, because that angle from the shore of the Galilee Sea, and is a very deep angle, creates kind of a theater where people can sit in layers, let's per se. So if Jesus had been or were able to be, let's say, in the lake, he would be able to speak and the sound go out and have a reach to many people on this kind of theater style shore, let's put that way. So we need to keep in mind that there's a lot of people following Jesus for his miracles, for his power over the evil doers, and because of the word of God. There's a lot of people. But because he's on the shore, and probably in the morning, because we see boats of fishermen, people working on their nets, that means that people probably went to the fishing market to buy their food for the day, right? That was very usual. In the morning, when the boats would come with their fishes and loads, people would go to the shore to help, to work, but also to buy and sell their fishes, right? So there's a large assembly of people on the shores during the morning, plus the people that Jesus attracted. So there's too much people there. So what happens? Let's continue. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left then and were washing their nets. So Jesus see the opportunity. Hey, people could sit here. My voice could reach more if I could be in the boat a little further from the shore. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So we see a name here, Simon. We have heard about him. He was the one that received Jesus in his house after he left the synagogue on that Sabbath day, where he delivered a young person from the evil one, right? He goes to Simon. So Simon is familiar with Jesus according to the narrative of Luke, right? He has heard about Jesus. He saw Jesus perform miracles at his home with his mother-in-law. He shared at least a meal with Jesus, right? So he's kind of familiar with Jesus. Jesus see that boat and maybe he ask, who's this boat, right? And Simon, that is working in his net, he says, oh, it's mine, Jesus, it's mine. And Jesus, do you mind if I use? No, go ahead, Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, do you mind to push me a little away from the shore, right? So I can have a better reach to everyone, right? And there was Jesus and Simon. Interesting that Simon was working there and probably Jesus was teaching, right? And that's the beauty. The kingdom of God goes where people are. The kingdom of God goes to the marketplace. The kingdom of God manifests itself where people are. It's not people going to a church building. It's the kingdom of God going after the people. And I can see Simon work on his net as Jesus teaches, right? It is okay. It is powerful. And Jesus sat. And it is interesting because this process of sitting means I will teach you something, right? The rabbis would use the sitting as a moment of now I'll start teaching. We have heard about that already in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was reading the synagogue. He was reading the scroll standing up, right? But at the time that he would start teaching, he would sit. Usually today when you have a professor or a teacher, when he was supposed or she's supposed to start teaching, they stand up from their table, from their desk, and start teaching, right? But in the biblical times, they would what? Sit, right? And he went to teach about the word of God. He taught about the Hebrew Bible. Remember, there's no New Testament there. There's just the Hebrew Bible. And Jesus is pointing out his main message is the kingdom of God, the good news of the kingdom. He's explaining this kingdom, how God has sovereignty, how God rules. And it's not about Romans. It's about God and his kingdom and how we need to submit to this kingdom. So comes verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Jesus finished his teaching and probably he stand up saying, it is done. Maybe he called Simon, or Simon seeing him standing up, approach the boat. And maybe Simon, okay, Jesus, let me bring the boat to the shore and you can leave. And Jesus says, no, Simon, let's go for a boat ride. I tell you, Jesus had many boat rides on the Galilee Sea. I had the privilege to have some as well. And now Peter says, okay, you want to go for a ride? That's okay, Jesus. I have work, finished my work. And as I see, you have finished your teaching. Yeah, we can go to a boat ride. But Jesus goes, and so, okay, let's go to the place that is most, the deeper place. Okay, Jesus, yeah, I can do that. I know, I'm familiar with this lake. And let down your nets. Well, usually the fishermen would work all night, right? Would be better to catch the fishes. In the morning, would bring their nets to the shore. They would take their fishes, sell their fishes, right? Then start cleaning, preparing for the next night. And that's what we see Peter doing, finishing and getting ready for the next day for fishing. So the daytime is not the best time to go fishing. So Peter says, verse 5, Master, pay attention. He calls Jesus Master. He referred him a rabbi, as a teacher, someone that has authority of interpretation of God's word. So, hey, I know you're a rabbi. You know a lot about the Bible and the kingdom of God. And yeah, you have amazing power. But here, pay attention. We worked hard all last night and did catch a thing. Hey, Jesus, you understand, you're a rabbi, you understand of the word, but fishing is with me. I have been doing that all my life. And we work all night. And I tell you, the lake is not for fishing. We didn't get a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Hey, Jesus, in respect that I have for you, I'll do that. But yeah, I don't expect nothing. Yeah, Jesus, I know you healed my mother-in-law. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, let's go for this boat ride and I can spend some time with you. Sure, but yeah, I'm not sure you will get something. Verse 6, and this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. What? Jesus shows that he not only have the power, he has the power over the demons and the diseases. Now he shows that he has the power over nature. And they had so much fish, right, that the nets began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon the boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Simon goes with his boat. He cannot grab all the fishes. He calls for help. They start putting the fishes inside of the boat, and the two boats were supposed to sink. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a such sinful man." For he was away struck by the number of fish they had caught, as they were the others with him. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. See, did you pay attention how Simon refers to Jesus now? He doesn't call him Rabbi, Master, Teacher. He calls him Lord. That miracle made him realize that he is more than a rabbi, more than a healer. He's the Lord. He is the Lord. He's in front of someone coming from God. And this title, the Lord, it is crucial. Because only Caesar was the Lord, the truly Lord and God. But he's saying, you are the one. And because you are the one, I'm not worthy to be in front of you. I'm a sinner. And this idea of sinner and the recognition of Peter as sinner shows that he is a poor. Remember, the poor is not only those with socioeconomic challenges. The poor in the Gospel of Luke represents those that are unfavorable. That could be a gender, class, family, nationality. If you are not the right gender, the right nationality, the right family, the right schooling, and you are unfavorable, right? You have diseases. You're considered poor because God is not pleasing or favorable of you. And all that is bad is because God is not favorable of you. And God loves only those that are favorable, those that are rich, those that are in the schooling of educating people, the Pharisees. That was the mindset of the time. So Peter says, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm a sinner. I'm a poor. I fall short. And what we see here is Jesus fulfilling his commission. I came to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. Somehow, Simon recognizes who Jesus is. There is a divine revelation there, divine declaration. And now, what Jesus would do? And it was not just Simon that was amazed, his partners, right? James and John. And we'll talk more about them on our way. But all of them were struck, amazed by what happened. So what Jesus says, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. Interesting that somehow that is the first phrase, the first declaration that comes from divine revelation. Don't be afraid. In the Gospel of Luke, when the angel appeared to Zechariah, the first words, don't be afraid. When the angel appeared to Mary, he said, don't be afraid. When the angel appeared to the shepherds, what the angel said, don't be afraid. The first words of divine revelation is, don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of God. God loves you. God is your friend, so you don't need to be fearful of God. You can accept his love. You can understand that he is for you. That's the mission of God. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Why? He will call Simon and the others around him to be fishermen for people. Because Jesus himself was a fisherman for people. And here I think we have a different approach and understand of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was now, from now on, investing his life into other people's life. We saw him as the one that presents with authority the word of God. We saw him already as the one that is able to and have authority over the demons and spirit, evil spirits. We saw him as having authority over the diseases, authority over nature as he performed that miracle. But now we see a crucial component of Jesus' mission, a mission from God's kingdom, to invest our life into other people's life. Jesus spent most of his time on his public ministry investing in people's life, helping them to understand better the kingdom of God, helping them to experience the kingdom of God, helping them to mature their faith. In the kingdom of God, there is this friendship, a spiritual friendship, a friendship of accountability, where we'll be investing in other people's life. And that is so crucial. And why Jesus called them to do that? Because he was doing that. And he had done that, and he would do that throughout his ministry, investing his life into other people's life. I tell you, this concept of the kingdom go against the ways of the world today. Because the world is all about you. What I want. What I need. But the kingdom of God talks about a community. I need to invest my life into other people's life. For sure, the first ones that we start investing is our family. If you have kids, your grandkids. But making or working in the way of the kingdom, it is investing in other people's life. But we want to keep distance. We don't want to get messy. We don't want to know them, because if we know them, and we'll recognize how sinful they are. And we don't want to hang out with sinful people. We want to have our boundaries. But the way of the kingdom is different. So let me ask, who are you investing into? Can you have a list of people that you have been praying, spend time with, helping them, mentoring them? That is the way of the kingdom. That was the way of Jesus, and that's the way that Jesus developed with his disciples, as his disciples did. And we have a poor faith and church today, in my humble opinion, because we are lacking on this accountability, relationship of investing our lives in one another. We have pseudo communities, shallow relationships. But here is doing life together. Our time is up, but I'll explain more about that when we study the call of Levi, and will be next week by God's grace. But what we see here as well, Jesus started his ministry at age of 30, right? We talk about that just after the episode about Jesus' baptism. And at the age of 30, a rabbi or a student under a rabbi would become a rabbi and find heir disciples that he could invest their life and teach them. So Jesus is at the age of 30. He goes after people that he can invest his life, his ministry into them. And he goes after fishermen, the first ones according to the Gospel of Luke. Interesting that if they are fishermen and they are working as a fisherman, that means that they fail on the educational system of Judaism at the time. Three levels. The first level focusing the Torah. The second level focus on the Tanakh, or the other books of the Bible. And the third level focus and living experience a life with a rabbi and trying to understand how the Torah and the other books of the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, impacts the daily life. learning the interpretations and all that. So not everyone would go from phase one to first phase two. So those that didn't go, went to the phase two, they went back to the family business. Those that start studying phase two, that start are around 12, 13 years old, they would study the Bible, but at the same time start learning with their parents, because if cannot go further on their education, at least they will have a way to have a life, right? So then goes to the third one, the third phase, and just a few would come, where a rabbi would invite that person to live with him so he can learn his life, so he can be their his disciples, and then make disciples after them. And those that would not go to this phase to become a rabbi would go back to the family business. So somehow, these four men that we see here, or the boats, right, and all that, the fishermen, they had failed on the first or the second level. But now they have a chance, a third level, for the third level, to study under a master, to learn from the master and emulate the life of the master. And that's Jesus. Verse 11. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. What you see here is the commitment of the kingdom. When you surrender to Jesus, when you surrender to the kingdom, your priority is not your family anymore. Your priority is not your job anymore. Your priority is not your community anymore. For the ones that submit and surrender to Jesus, their priority is the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's a full surrender. That doesn't mean that because you're surrendered to the kingdom, that the kingdom will not ask you to prioritize your family. Yeah, you need to pay attention, right? But what he's saying is the kingdom is everything. And Billy Graham has a very powerful quote. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost everything you have. And my question is, what kind of relationship with the kingdom have you been experiencing? Is that a full commitment and surrender? Or is, okay, let me see if I have time for God's kingdom. You see, here we see the challenging of the kingdom. And what is the challenge of kingdom? Full surrender. Full submission. Entirely submission. Am I plea today for you and for me is to completely surrender to God and His kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom is concerned in health and accountable relationships where we'll be investing in one another, where we'll call for full surrender. Help us, Lord, to understand and live out the kingdom life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's go for our questions of reflection. So here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you. Tomorrow, by God's grace, we'll continue our journey on chapter 5. Now, Jesus will heal someone with leprosy. That will be the first encounter of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with leprosy. And it will be a powerful message. So I hope to see you tomorrow. May God bless you. And remember, we must surrender completely to God and His Messiah, Jesus Christ. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead us whatever God presents His will. May God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.